guys, welcome back to Talk Tennis Tea, and this week I have the March roundup as we're approaching the end of the month. There is quite a lot to talk about, so we'll get into that and some upcoming tournaments. As we know, Miami Open is the only one of the Sunshine doubles to be played at the beginning of the year, so we'll get into talking about all the drama associated with that, what the draw is looking like, and so on and so forth. So grab your cuppers, grab a snack, and let's get into the tea. So at the beginning of March, the anticipated return of Roger Federer happened. He played in Dubai, where he had an epic comeback. His first match was against Daniel Evans, who he beat, and then he lost in the second round of the tournament, but he played amazingly well, and obviously the knee is still probably not as much as an issue, but he is looking good and everyone is excited to see where he goes from here and all that. He will not be playing in Miami, but we'll probably see him come clay and grass, and potentially the Olympics too, because that's also happening this year. So yeah, Novak Djokovic overtook Roger in weeks at number one. He threw a massive party. Just seen a couple of articles that his dad has been featured in talking about how he's the GOAT, comparing him to Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, all that kind of stuff. Congratulations to Djokovic on that. It's an amazing feat, but also just the, how do we say, very over-the-top reaction as always. But it wouldn't be Djokovic without that, always wanting to attract a crowd, always wanting to feel loved. Next, we have Daniel Medvedev, who moves to world number two after his win in Marseille, where he gained his 10th title. That was honestly incredible. He could be number one by the middle of the year, end of the year, if he has a good clay court season and a grass season, from looking at it. If he wins a slam this year, which I don't think is very far away for him, he will end up being number one, because the ranking points aren't so bad in terms of looking at it. And he's the first player since Leighton Hewitt who has been outside the big four to be in the top four spots, so that is exciting and it's good. People were saying it's a change of the guard, it's a sign of the times. Dominic Thiem are probably the two that have really shown that they can put it to the best of them, Thiem being a Grand Slam champion, Medvedev not so far away. So it's very interesting to see all that and see that type of drama occurring and happening. So wish him the best of luck, and hopefully he can dethrone Djokovic very, very soon. Christian Garin is back. He was playing in Santiago, which he won. That was a clay court tournament. Bashalashvili won in Doha as well. And then there was Acapulco, where Tsitsipas was the top seed. Zverev and his entire family were there. Nadal withdrew. Dominic Thiem was also playing, but no, apologies, Dominic Thiem was in Dubai. I am very lost and confused. Dominic Thiem was playing in Dubai, but Stefanos was the top seed in Acapulco. Him and Zverev played in the final, and it was an epic final. Zverev came back from 4-1 in the first set to win in straight sets. Over in Dubai, Dominic Thiem lost. He was the number one seed, and he lost to Lloyd Harris in the second round, and it seems like Thiem has not been well or good since the Australian Open. He hasn't really been delivering the kind of results that we would expect from him, which is weird but also upsetting. He said he was injured, so he's probably still working through that and making sure that he's ready completely for the clay season. We know that's one of the surfaces he excels at, so you know, he's got to do what he's got to do. So he's gone back home and he's working through that. Like, a lot of players are actually not playing as much, or they're taking that time because there are a few slumps. We've seen Monfils and a few others who are in a slump as well. So hopefully he gets out of it and we can see him very soon. But Lloyd Harris, as we said, he won that match and went on to play in the final with Aslan Karatsev. Aslan, as we know, was the story of the Australian Open. And Aslan Karatsev won his first ATP title last week in Dubai. So that was pretty exciting. They both played insanely well throughout the tournament and it was very well deserved for the both of them. Over on the women's side, Taylor Townsend had her baby, a beautiful baby boy, Aiden Aubrey Townsend. She posted on her Instagram story talking about it, and we saw a few photos of that as well. So congratulations to Taylor and family, and hopefully you guys are healthy and safe. Magrutha won in Dubai after an upsetting loss in Qatar the previous week to Petra Kvitova. Magrutha is on fire, and I'm expecting her to deliver some great wins. After the Australian Open, I was a bit worried for her, but she was up in high spirits, and she's been playing amazingly well in these tournaments, opening up the field, really showing these girls who's her, like, showing them who's boss at the end of the day, and it's been great. Like, she's doing amazingly well. Yeah, I'm excited to see what the rest of the year has for her and what Miami can do as well, how she can play there. The other tournaments, we have Cerebus Tomo, who beat Jeannie Bouchard in Guadalajara to win her first title. Jeannie is back from injury / pandemic stuff. This is her first match being back on tour, and she played really well not her first match, but her first tournament being back on tour, and it's great to see her back. I wasn't really a big Jeannie fan, but I do like her, and it's nice to see her doing well and all that. She has changed sponsors. She was with Nike, and now she's with New Balance, and it's a promising start. I'm excited to see where she goes and how she's going to progress through the rest of the year. Hopefully she can keep it up and play at a high level, because when she started on the tour, she was at a very high level. So it's exciting to see that. Also, news about Kim Clijsters' return. She's delayed her return, so she's not going to be playing in Miami or Charleston, which is coming up very soon, due to health reasons. So hopefully we can see her soon, and maybe she could play in the Olympics. Who knows? Other results from Mexico last week. Fernandez, Canadian, she won, defeating Gulbich. And in St. Petersburg, Daria Kazakhstina won, defeating Gasparin, who retired. So awesome, awesome start, especially great for Daria. That's an awesome win for her. So yeah. Now time to move on to a subject that no one wants to talk about. As we know, Bachelasvili won in Dubai, but he actually went to jail for domestic violence charges. And we know another person, Zverev, has also been accused of domestic violence, and there has been articles written about the both of them, and I'm sure you can find them both on social media. But I wanted to talk about this because on Twitter recently, I've been seeing recent feeds and lots of posts and lots of tweets about just people complaining about how the ATP hasn't done anything, how, like, these two people can still play and win tournaments, yet I don't know about a Bachelasvili situation, whether it's still an active investigation, what the deal is with that. But, you know, for someone who's been in jail to still be allowed to play, it's kind of a bit weird. And with Zverev, it's like the whole situation has been dismissed. Everyone's acting like it never happened. So, yeah, there's been lots of comments and lots of chatter about that on Twitter. And it's kind of, it's kind of like, where do we go from here? Obviously, everyone's, you know, you're ignoring him, or you choose to ignore it, or you don't acknowledge the fact that they've won these tournaments, or you tweet and post about the dislike that you have, or you just stay silent and you don't engage in these conversations. But it's like, as a fan, as a tennis supporters, where do we go if we want to see real change, and if we want to see the ATP bring in these domestic violence charges or assault charges, not charges, but like rules and regulations on that kind of stuff? What do we need to do to get that to happen? Because at the moment, what we're doing isn't working, and they're not listening. They never listen. Let's be real about this. The ATP never listens. We've, like, there's so many other things that fans have tried to do and tried to help and assist in, but nothing's happening. And this, I feel, is very big. If you look at other sporting institutions, soccer, in NRL here in New Zealand, Australia, rugby union, people will be suspended, and there is an active trial and court case and criminal investigation into what happened, into any of the slightest inconvenience into a player, and that person, their brand is tarnished forever. There is, I wouldn't say a blacklist, but whenever it happens to an NRL player or whatever, it is a serious big deal. But it's so common that people are just like, oh, it's another one of them. And it's their career ruined. But with tennis, I feel like the elitism and the privilege that comes around this sport, and just the nature of the players and all that, and the kind of protectiveness that happens around there, is just so toxic, and it's not helping the institution, and it's setting us back. You know, it's not doing well. And even last year, when Djokovic and Vasek Pospisil brought out their new council or whatever, they didn't include the women. They left them, and they were like, oh yeah, once we get things up and running and once it's fully established, we'll include women. Where are they now? Where is that second council now? Nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be seen. And you know what? I think if the women had been involved, it probably would have been better for them, because it would have probably still been running. But that's not the point of this conversation. It's how do we want change, obviously. We don't want to see people like Bachelet-Philly, who abuse, you know, have hurt people, and it's not cool. Like, yes, this is their job, and yes, this is what they're living, but people still need to be held accountable, and, you know, the right channels and the right things need to be done. So, just a thought, and it's probably a heavy topic in such a fun podcast, and I know I never talk about these things and don't get deep into it, but I am sick of seeing people talking about it on Twitter but not actually wanting to do something, and it's kind of, I'm kind of over it. Like, if we want to get something actually done, we need to actually start talking about it properly and making a change. Like, we can't just, like, there's been so many Twitter fights and blocking, and Zverev's PR team is so good at blocking people super quickly, but it's like, yeah, you can block it and you can hide and you can protect him all you want, but it's not going to change the fact that this is still out there in the world. Like, he chose to stay at a tournament instead of go see the birth of his child, his daughter, his firstborn. I just, like, stuff like that just doesn't make sense to me. How can you do that? So, yeah, it's an interesting situation, and I don't know. I don't even think the ATP will even give it a second chance. Like, they won't even look at it. They're just like, oh, these players are too good to take off and suspend them, because there'll be a riot. But also, hold them accountable. So what if there's a riot? They've ruined someone's life. The both of them have ruined someone's life. They can be suspended. Let's stop suspending people for throwing rackets, squaring on court, and doing just dumb stuff. Let's suspend people for doing criminal activities and things that actually harm people. Anyway, that's the end of that. Let's move on to happier topics. Into Miami. So, Miami Open is starting this week. As I am recording this video, qualifying is currently happening. So, yeah. So, Miami started off with an impressive number of people withdrawing. I have my honorable list here, but in total, 23 people have withdrawn from the Miami Open. So Novak, Rafa, Roger, Dominic Thiem, Monfils, Stan, Pablo Carreño Busta, Nick Kyrgios, Tsonga, and a few others. It is a lot of people, and a lot of people who would bring in people to what, like, make the tournament better, but also bring in fans, as well as just increase the competition. So most of them have been injuries, but also there has been talks of how things are expensive. Riley Opelka on Twitter the other day talked about the cost for fans, and also mentioned the cost for players as well, how it's really not worth it. Like, with in Miami currently, the prices of hotels are skyrocketing. Like, everything is super expensive, and, you know, fans can't afford it. Like, people have to pay $3,000 to watch tennis, and that is for the tickets, the hotel, transport, your flights, food, like, all that kind of stuff. And it's not really fair. And Riley Opelka said, this is sad. Like, it's really upsetting, because you want, you know, in this kind of stage of the pandemic, players are so used to not playing without fans, and any opportunity that they get to play with fans is cherished and not taken for granted. So it's really sad that people can't come because of the fact that, you know, it's too expensive. But I do, like, there is the other hand that, yes, we've just been in a pandemic. Last year, Miami had to cancel because that is when everything was really picking up with coronavirus and stuff. But it's been so hard for them too. They need to make their money, and I understand that. But it's also like, if you're going to do that, you can't market tennis for a younger audience. There has been so much talk about tennis being marketed to young people, but it's like, young people can't afford these prices. If you're going to do it like that, you just have to, you know, you have to give a little bit. And that's why it's not just going to tournaments, but it's even streaming channels like Tennis Channel or the ATP video thing. It's expensive for that subscription. It's like $14 a month here. Or like $100-$200 for a year. That's like the price of, like, I'd rather watch Netflix at that stage. Like, I'd rather pay for Netflix. I'm not going to pay that much for watching tennis, no matter how much I love the sport. And it's really sad, because for most young people, that is the way that they want to view tennis. And yeah, it would be great to go to tournaments, but in reality, there's nowhere we can travel unless you live in that country. And how many countries actually have tournaments that are still actively being played? So it's so hard. And I think, you know, if those streaming sites lowered their prices, it would be great, because young people like me and people I follow on Twitter and talk to regularly who want to get into the sport will find it more accessible and will think it's a better opportunity. Like, it would be more worthwhile. So yeah, just things to think about. Obviously, tournaments still need to make money. Totally understand that. We are going into a recession because of the pandemic. So things are tight and things will be difficult for a while. But I think the tournaments also need to think about, how do we get people to actually come and not break their back? Because, you know, you don't want people to be starving, but, like, going to tennis tournaments for a week. So some players haven't come because of that. Others, injury, and others, maybe they just didn't want to go. But in saying that, it's opened up qualifying and it's opened up the draw a lot on both sides, men and women's. The draw has been opened up. There was also a scandal with the wild cards. Wild cards this year were scandalous as not a lot of Americans were picked on the women's side. So yeah, on the men's, people who got wild cards were Andy Murray, Carlos Alcazar, Michael Moe, Hugo Gaston, and Jack Draper. So all people who need wild cards, all people who have been playing insanely well and doing great. And then on the women's, we have Anna Kondrick, who's a Croatian former top 20 player who's been injured for the past few years, and she's trying to get back into it. Anna Kaliskia, Storm Sanders, an Australian who's playing exceptionally well. Katarina Scott, Maya Sharif, Xi Yu Wang, and Jin Yu Wang. And all these players I've heard of and I've seen them play. Maya Sharif is an Egyptian woman who is playing amazing tennis at the moment. She's so good. And, you know, she deserves this wild card. But the choices of the wild cards, even in the qualifying wild cards, people have been saying that there's not a lot of, especially on the women's side, there wasn't any Americans, or there were very little Americans. And it made me think, isn't a wild card given to people who are doing well, you know, succeeding in tournaments, or you're trying to get back into the game and, you know, you're trying to get back into it and you've been injured or something like that? But they're usually given to people who are on the come up. It's not given to someone who is not trying or just isn't winning matches and can't make getting into the tournament any other how. It's been very interesting to see that kind of discussion play out on Twitter, but I think the wild cards were justified in what they said? Yes, they gave them to the right people and it was given to people who will make the tournament better, I reckon. And looking by the draw, it's going to be very interesting to see how things go down, because you have these people who are going to shake things up. As always, that is just what happens. So yeah, we can't talk about Miami without, and the any US tournament without bringing up COVID. So in America, it's been spring break, or spring break has just passed. And with that, there were a lot of visitors to Miami and Florida in general. So there were videos of people fighting in the streets. Like, not just like a little fight, like brawls, full on, taking up the whole street area, fighting. And like, the videos are funny, but it's also like, why there's been no mask wearing. And it's like, people have forgotten it's a pandemic. I obviously know that if you're anywhere outside of Australia and New Zealand, you are still living with restrictions and mask wearing and all that kind of stuff, but it's been tough, and obviously it's not easy for people to deal with. But also, if we follow the rules and we stick to the guidelines, the pandemic will be over in no time. It's people who don't follow the rules and don't stick to the guidelines and don't get a vaccine who are slowing us down. So yeah, at least America started their vaccination rollout, so that's interesting, and we'll see how that goes, and keeping a close eye on how it affects tennis and even the Olympics going forward. But in Miami, there has been a curfew in the entertainment district, some roads will be closed and all that, so I don't know how that plays out for tennis wise like, will some players be scared? Is there a bubble? I haven't heard much about it. Obviously, there is general public going to be at the matches, but obviously at a lower rate than normal, and same with staffing and all that. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out and what the tournament will do to protect people and make sure that it's safe and still enjoyable for everyone. Okay, moving on to the real reason why we're here is to see the draw. So we'll start with the men's side first off, and we'll go off the first four seeds. So because the big three aren't there, Medvedev, Stefanos, Tsitsipas, Alexander Zverev, Andre Rublev are the top four. And it is looking very interesting. I will get to my predictions at the end, but we'll go through some of the interesting matches that I saw and potential meetings. So first up, in the first round, I saw Popperin versus Lopez. That's going to be an interesting one. Popperin is an Australian young gun who's doing amazingly well. Feliciano Lopez is trying to come back. I don't know what he's up to, but he's still got good tennis in him. So that's going to be a very interesting round. There's potential for Medvedev to meet Lajovic in the quarterfinals. Zverev will potentially meet Bashalashvili in the third round. Aslan Karatsev will probably meet Fabio Fognini in the third round too. And this match, and this matchup is always my favorite because it's such a good matchup. Martin Fucsovics will meet Andrei Rublev in the third round. And I think last week in Doha, when they played together, Fucsovics made a comment saying, "I don't want to see you in my draw again," or something like that, very lightheartedly because he lost. But their matches are always good and they always give it the best. So yeah, and then Andy Murray will meet Lloyd Harris in his first round, and that's going to be a stunner one because Andy Murray, we know, can grind and tough it out, but Lloyd has been on such a hot streak at the moment, obviously making the finals in Dubai. He will be looking red hot, so it could be a tough one for Andy, but I will be supporting Andy all the way for that match. Into my predictions of who will be the final four, I think it'll be Karatsev, Medvedev, Tsitsipas, and Rublev. Those four have been insanely playing well. Karatsev is a very hopeful player for me. I think he has the opportunity to go deep, and in Australia we saw that happen and he's proved it winning his first title. So I think he could win, or I have to go with my boy Tsitsipas. He plays well under pressure and he does well, and in previous tournaments he's been doing pretty well. I'm just scared that he might choke like he did in the final of Acapulco, but we'll see how that goes. Onto the women's side, Ash Barty, Naomi Osaka, Halep, and Keenan are the top four. Ash Barty is back. She's taking the number one spot. Expected matchups and interesting matches will be Kerber will meet Azarenka in the third round, potentially, if they both win. Venus plays Diaz, and then potential meeting with Bencic in the second round. Halep will meet Caroline Garcia in the second round. Then Coco Gauff in the third round. It should be interesting. Madison Keys is also back. She will meet Swiatek in the second / third round. Stevens will meet Anna Semenova in her second round. Then, if she wins, she will play Andreescu in the third. Keenan will play Jabeur in the third round, and Pliskova will meet Pegula in the third round. So some epic third round matches. I always find the first round and second round of tournaments, unless it's like a thriller match, and it's like a really good head-to-head or like a really messed up head-to-head, then it'll be good. But usually around the third round, that's when it starts to get interesting. So we'll see. My predictions are that Muguruza, Osaka, Svitolina, and Swiatek will be the final four, and I think it'll be between Muguruza or Osaka winning the tournament, to be honest with you. They've both been playing amazingly, Osaka coming off a win in Australia, but Muguruza just playing exceptionally well. I think she can do really well and change the game. So yeah, that has been an epic podcast roundup for March, and I'm looking forward to watching Miami this week and next week. So it'll be exciting to see how it goes. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast and enjoyed your cup of tea and snacks. And we'll catch you guys on the next one.